Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's our last show of 2022, Tony. How are you going to remember this year?
Tony Kornheiser started in the attic, finished in the basement, just like Northwestern football. That's a funny line.
Yeah, that's a funny line. You know, I'm always able to ask you once you throw stones. Binghamton, what? They did what?
We've been undefeated since 1946 when the school was founded. Undefeated. Because we have no team.
Yeah.
We're undefeated.
No team, no squad.
That's,
we were close to having no squad this year either.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Steve Cohn upsets the system, the Olympics threaten to dump boxing, and Steve Young joins us for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with what feels like the cratering of the Golden State Warriors. The defending NBA champions are now 3-16 on the road, and that is the worst road record in the NBA. Last night, again playing without the injured Steph Curry, the Warriors gave up 91 points in the first half to the Nets, lost by 30. The game before, the Warriors lost to the Knicks by 38. They're not competitive at the moment. Wilbon, do you really believe the Warriors are going to turn this around?
Tony, I'm starting to not believe it. And I believed it as recently as a week ago, but part of that was, okay, they're going to go on the road to some places where they're going to want to play, where guys are going to be challenged and their championship athletic egos are going to be challenged. They're going to want to do this. And then they lose these games by those margins?
Yeah.
And I'm going, yeah. Oh, my God. Tony, the Warriors have had the number one in terms of plus-minus starting unit for much of the season. The bench was bad. The bench is still bad. It's worse. The starters aren't out there for the largest part. And they play no defense. That's a recipe for a long, cold, difficult winter.
Yeah. So I love the Warriors. I love to watch them. And I love Steve Kerr. And I don't think they're going to turn it around in the same way that I love to watch LeBron James, and I don't think he's going to turn it around. Something happens, Mike. Something happens over a long period of time where you begin losing for the first time in a long time, and you lack the will to turn it around, and you slowly begin to sink. I'm going to go back to baseball in the 60s with the New York Yankees. From 1955 through 1964, the Yankees went to 9 out of 10 World Series, and they won 4 of them. They were the greatest team ever in baseball. And they still had great players. They had Mantle and they had Ford. They had Elston Howard, Bobby Richardson, Tony Kubek, Ralph Terry. They had players. And they sunk. They all got old at the same time, Mike. They went from 99 wins to 77 to 70, under 500. I fear this is what's happened
you
to
think
the Warriors.
They got old all of a sudden? You think they have? You think that's happening before our eyes now?
I think they get old before your eyes. Mike, I think last year's championship was the cherry on top.
Yeah.
And I don't think they have this will. And, Mike, I also think that that punch in the preseason revealed something.
Altered. It may have altered the chemistry, not just of those guys, but the whole team, maybe. And we're waiting to see that, Tony. I mean, Draymond Green said to us on camera last week that he's not leading in the same way with the same sort of gusto and bravado that he normally would.
He
knows
that. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think the Golden State Warriors, as we've known them,
yeah,
I think they may be done.
Man, that would be sad. Seriously. It would be. Yeah, I'm like you. I like to watch them. I like to cover them. I like to be there courtside to watch the brilliance, the wizardry of all of it, the camaraderie, the chemistry, the competitive ego of all those guys. And we're not – they were down 91 to 40-something at the half last night. Unbelievable. Woo. Let's move to Mets owner Steve Cohen, rattling other franchises with his spending spree. After landing Carlos Correa, Cohen has committed to a payroll next season of upwards of $380 million before luxury taxes. An official for another major league team told The Athletic, quote, "There's no collusion, but there was a reason nobody for years went past $300 million. You still have partners and there's a system. These small markets are going to be really pissed at him." Close quote. Tony, do you think the other owners will actually try to get back at Steve Cohen?
Let's look at what's happened so far. Buster only reports that Steve Cohen's luxury tax payment, the luxury tax payment, not the payroll, could be larger than 10 or 12 payrolls in the league by other teams. The luxury tax payment. It's called the Steve Cohen tax, and he blew right through it. And obviously, Rob Manfred has noticed that. Do I think from unnamed club officials that they're going to do anything? No, I don't. I'm going to tell you why. because all sports want owners who are going to spend money to be competitive. And all players want owners who are going to spend money to be competitive. I mean, you know what'll stop them or slow them down? Losing repeatedly. And that hasn't happened to them yet. So my sense of this is that this is a good thing. Look, for years, Mike, people looked at the Mets and they lamented the fact that they weren't spending any money. You're going to punish a guy who comes in and spends money?
Tony,
I don't get that.
It's not about punishing. The other guys don't have as much money. Not everybody in the NBA, for example, has as much money as Steve Ballmer. They don't have it. So they can't pay that luxury tax. They can't go into the tax. That's going to happen with Cohen and Tony. Those owners who were then either forced to think about selling or just being doormats, being homecoming opponents, they're the ones that are angry. Can they do anything to get back at him? I don't think they can, but they would want to. They're partners with him, and they are going to loathe him in the moment because they don't have that. Tony, you and I know owners. I'm not going to name any names. You and I know owners who have pride, too. They're competitive. They don't have the money to spend at the level of Cohen.
There's no cap in baseball.
Right.
So you can do this. If you don't want him in the league, you shouldn't let him in the league. If you if you're spending no money at all and you're not competitive, get out of the
league.
They
may have to get out.
All right. What Steve Cohen is doing in a major market like New York is exactly what baseball wants. Exactly. There's a story in the Washington Post saying that boxing may be dropped from the 2024 Paris Olympics. Reportedly, there's bad blood between the IOC and the International Boxing Association, which runs global boxing, and its president, Umar Kremlev of Russia. Well, man, there's been boxing in the Olympics since 1904. Would the Olympics be diminished without boxing?
Would the Olympics be diminished without Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, Sugar Ray Leonard? We can keep, Evander Holyfield. Are you people serious? You people are morons. No, sorry, producers, not your behaviors, morons. You are morons if you remove boxing. Okay, so for me, Tony, and I've covered in person 7 Summer Olympics. And the only thing I like as much as boxing is track and field. No, not swimming, which has become the darling of the Olympics over the last, 20 years or so. Boxing. Boxing has provided some of the great moments in the history of sports in America, with the flag waving at the end and people on a stand with medals being put around their necks. You want to get rid of something with the history of them? Once again, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman. No, you need to leave, not boxing. Get out.
So, you know, my position on boxing is indefensible. I love it.
Yes.
I know it's brutal. I know we should outlaw it. And I love it. I like
Kudos.
You to have gone to boxing matches just to watch them in the Olympics. The boxers are the greatest stories. The boxers are the greatest talkers. And you've enumerated so many great champions that have come out of it. When you go to a boxing match in the Olympics, the referee may speak another language. He will only know this one word in English, and it will be like this. He will put the gloves together at the beginning of the match, then separate the boxers and go, box! And that's what happens.
It's a great moment.
It is. It's always seemed to me, I know it's rough, but they got headgear, and it's only 3 rounds. It always seemed to me the most inclusive of all the sports. And my favorite things in the Olympics are the boxing and the 100-meter dash because it's democratic.
Yes.
First one to the tape wins.
And they better figure it out.
I'm
they
upset.
Better figure it out
I'm
and
upset.
Get this right. You know?
Very upset.
Yes.
I don't want to see that MMA kickbox in there. I want that. Coming up, we'll ask Steve Young how careful Jalen Hurts needs to be with his throwing shoulder.
We'll also ask him whether he has any tackling tips for quarterbacks. The boxing. You and I have sat shoulder to shoulder on multiple continents watching some of the great athletic events of all time.
Yes.
Come on, people.
But we're old. We're old. Oh, no one.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Unnamed government officials confirmed to PTI that week 16 of the NFL season kicks off tonight, which makes it a perfect time to welcome back our great friend, a man who is still upset that the Giants lost Carlos Correa, Mr. Steve Young, in a lovely holiday sweater that caught Wilbon's eye immediately. Let's start with this. The Eagles say it looks like Gardner Minshew is going to start instead of the injured Jalen Hurts. If you had an injured shoulder like Jalen Hurts, Steve, how cautious would you be?
I would be the highest level DEFCON 5 cautious. Is that the highest? I think it is DEFCON 6. Whatever it is, the highest. Because the shoulder socket is the shallowest socket, right? It is the one that's exposed and has all the stuff that holds it together. And it is your money maker. It's the thing that drove Peyton. Every quarterback who had to leave early out of injury is usually the shoulder. And so you don't want something that is, oh, it's fine for this week and we'll fix it in the offseason. And then you're no, 100%. You're a young, all-pro, superstar quarterback. 100%. Then you come back with a shoulder. Make sure that you take care of the money maker.
All right, somebody who we think is healthy, the moneymaker looks fine, is Trevor Lawrence, of course, who goes against the Jets tonight, has a passer rating of 100 or more in 5 of his last 6 games, and people are raving because he's navigating the pocket real well. Steve, as a young guy, as a young quarterback, what has to happen to navigate the pocket as well as he is lately?
Yeah, this is not 5 minutes, this is 50 minutes, but in the end, you need help playing quarterback. You can't, of all the positions in the sports, that's the most important yet needs the most help is quarterback. And the most help you need is from an offensive coordinator, coach, play caller, who has a system in place that you now study. And I always said, I went to law school and I had to memorize more for my job as the NFL quarterback than I did law school. Because it is, at the end of the day, a PhD in data. And you have to own it. And if, as long as the data is good, great offensive coordinator, innovative stuff, and now you memorize it and know everything, every nuance, every play, every formation, every motion, and it becomes reflexively regurgitated from your mind. That's where you get the peace that allows your body now to navigate the pocket because you're at peace with the data. And I don't know why I tell young players, until you're at peace with the data, you can't. You're going to be frenetic. You're going to be lost. You're going to wonder what the coach is going to. You're going to go to the sidelines and they say, "What happened?" The truth, if you had a lie detector test, you'd have to say, "I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know what I saw." Because that's the truth. When you're navigating the pocket and you're settled and you're peaceful in it, it's because you own the data.
Well, we can only own the data today with quarterbacks. I'm sure Kornheiser just commandeered the question sheet, and it's only about quarterbacks. So we go to Zach Wilson, who gets the start for the Jets against the Jags. He said earlier this week he reached out to you, not just you, but Drew Brees, Kurt Warner, and former BYU quarterback, you know, John Beck, after he was benched. What were you able to tell him? Did you feel good about that conversation?
Yeah, I because what happens is, especially in the NFL, college is one thing. The NFL is, here's college on this kind of typical, on the quarterback, handling things as a quarterback. College is here, high school's here, and the pros is like, I can't go that high. That's how big of a change it is in all of these aspects. And what happens when you're younger is you say, hey, that's not fair. What happened here? You're not doing, and you, what happens, you get into a hole of victimization. Authentically, it's like rationalized, because the truth is you're not getting the help where you want. You didn't get, you know, in the end, the only thing that you ask yourself is, what did I do and how do I do it better? and own every inch of it and never speak a word of victimization. Never mitigate anything that's around you, because there are 10,000 mitigating factors. I talk about how much help quarterbacks need. Trust me, you can point out 1,000 mitigating factors that are not being taken care of and it affects your play. I agree. No problem. But the fact is that you have a job to do and you are accountable for it. He is accountable. I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is that not let the victimization, the mitigation in, like, seep in, and it starts to be able to be voiced out in your mind and your words. And I would say that to every quarterback. In fact, I said for years that at the end of a game, watch the losing quarterback ask the question to every media. You've asked Michael, how many times? What happened?
Yeah.
Put a line down the middle of a piece of paper, mitigation and accountability on each side, and just listen, your ear for what they're saying. Mitigation, 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 you're not going to win next week. Accountability, 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 you have a chance.
And this is why we talked to Steve Young about quarterbacks, Wilbon, and not about the Chicago Bulls. This is why.
He can
and
do that, too. You think Steve
here.
Can't do that?
I've got
you
a lot of
me?
Opinions about the Bulls.
He does. I know he does, Tony.
Okay. We'll get you out of here on this with another quarterback question. Mac Jones, Wilbon's boy,
yeah.
is getting mocked for his ridiculous attempt to tackle Chandler Jones, which is office. From your experience now, what advice, I'm sure you were a great tackler, what advice would you give quarterbacks now on the art of tackling?
Well, the problem is now... I think they replaced Jim Marshall as the most boneheaded thing that ever happened
yep.
on a football field.
Exactly.
So now you're the epitome yeah. of that moment when Chandler Jones gets the ball. Look, when you have to, a quarterback has to go tackle somebody, they're probably going to be much bigger than you. What part of the anatomy is more likely the same size? The ankle. The ankle is the place where it's kind of the same size. So make sure you get after the ankle. And I would have told Mac Jones the same thing. Get a hold of Chandler Jones's ankle and then never let go. And some the reinforcements are coming. You're never alone in tackling. Just get a hold of the ankle and hold on. Let him drag you for 5 or 10. It's fine. But you could see that Mac was as shocked as anybody in the whole stadium. He's like, why is the ball flying back at me right now? And I don't think he was able to process it fast enough, because the way he got run over is not Mac Jones. He is a tenacious guy. I think his mind just couldn't process what was happening as the ball flew back to Chandler. Like, what? And by the time that happened, by the time he got it processed, Chandler Jones was at the 10.
That's great.
Yeah, to make Wilbon happy, we can analogize this to Jeff Van Gundy.
Jeff Van Gundy grabbed the ankle. He
That's
did.
Right.
I was going to say that same thing. There we go.
just hold on. Thank you, Steve.
Hold on.
It's great.
Thank you, Steve. Happy holidays.
All right. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Kwanzaa. Everything.
Yep.
Great.
You can get more Steve Young on Monday Night Countdown, this week featuring the Chargers and the Colts.
Whoa.
Let's take one last break, still to come to very surprising results and one very surprising sweater in college basketball.
And why are the Celtics, you know, a little wobbly lately? You think Steve can't solve what's wrong with the Golden State Warriors? I can tell you, we let him get away. I know he has answers, or at least suggestions. Huh?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 59th birthday tomorrow, Jim Harbaugh. For the second straight year, Harbaugh finds himself in the playoffs courtesy of a big victory over Ohio State. Nobody in Ann Arbor is trying to fire Harbaugh now. Last year, Michigan got bounced out quickly by eventual champ Georgia 34-11. This year, the Wolverines come in 13-0. They're an early 7.5-point favorite over TCU. which could have been unbeaten as well had they not lost their game, their last game in overtime to Kansas State. Harbaugh is the son of a football coach and the brother of a football coach, and he has won everywhere he has been. 29-6 at San Diego, 29-21 at Stanford, 44-19-1 with the 49ers, including a Super Bowl appearance, and he's 74-24 at Michigan.
Tony, you know, I always thought that Jim Harbaugh would be, and I wanted him to be, the head coach at some point of the Chicago Bears, who drafted him, and that's where he started and played most of his NFL career. That doesn't look like it's going to happen, you know, but I was able to see Harbaugh play in person in college against Maryland in the Big House way back, must have been the late 80s.
Happy anniversary, Ndamukong Suh. On this day 13 years ago, the Nebraska defensive tackle became the first defensive player voted AP College Football Player of the Year. Suh may be the last great Nebraska player, drafted number 2 overall by the Lions, a 5-time Pro Bowler, a 3-time first-team All-Pro. He's played for the Lions, the Dolphins, the Rams, where he played in a Super Bowl, Tampa Bay, where he won a Super Bowl, and now the Eagles. Until going to the Eagles, Suh had started all 191 games of his career, and he has never missed a game due to injury.
Tony, the greatest defensive lineman in college I think I ever saw. Reggie White, Chris Long, Ndamukong Suh, and Warren Sapp, who just turned 50 earlier this week, so happy belated to Warren Sapp. But those guys, to me, like, sort of set themselves apart in the time I was covering college football. Going back to Reggie White.
Heavy trails to last night's games for Iowa and Arizona State. Eastern Illinois was a 31.5-point underdog to Iowa last night. A spread so large, sportsbooks weren't even offering bets on Eastern Illinois to win straight up. By beating Iowa 92-83, Eastern Illinois became the first underdog of 30 points or more to win in the past 30 seasons. Prior to this, underdogs of 30 points or more were 0-558 in that time. Arizona State, ranked 25th and on a 9-game heater, got roasted by San Francisco last night. Ooh. San Francisco opened the game on a 24-2 run. How's that for hello? At one point, the Dons led by 47. And a possible happy trails to Tom Izzo's green elf sweater that he wore and got teed up in last night as Michigan State beat Oakland. Izzo wore it in tribute to his pal, great, Oakland coach Greg Campy, who apparently wears ugly Christmas sweaters like this all the time.
Izzo, one of my absolute favorites. Tony, I mean, when you look at those, there's some big upsets. But when you hear San Francisco, tell me you don't first think of Bill Cartwright.
Oh, I think of Notre Dame in San Francisco. Yeah.
That was, right? A big game. Your buddy Digger beat them.
Didn't Notre Dame beat them? Yeah, he beat them.
When they were undefeated.
Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Yep, they were undefeated. 29-0, I think. The Celtics have lost 5 of 6. Cause for concern?
A little bit, Tony, a little bit. I mean, Milwaukee even passed them by a half game for now for first place. Long season. It'll be fine. Chase Young is going to be active for Washington Saturday against the Niners. Is that significant?
It's been a long time, 13 months since he's played football. Caitlin Clark of Iowa reached a 2,000-point plateau after just 75 games. Are you impressed?
Yes. Elena Deladon was the last one to do that after 75 games as well. That's great company to be in. Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl tonight. Baylor Air Force. Who you got?
I got Air Force, just like James Carville making it a triple play. Last one. Your Blackhawks have lost 8 straight.
Oh.
What kid?
Tony, I think this is the worst Blackhawks team I've ever seen. Ever. Ever. That's
really
a long time for me.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Drew Tevis, congratulations.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Happy holidays, knuckleheads. We're off until Tuesday, January 3rd. So that's, you know, you got a few days without us. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And now...